is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
That's enough to tell him, thank you.
I feel alive.
Cause God, you've been good to me. You gave me the activities of my
life.
And I can go on and tell somebody how good you've been to me.
I'm still alive.
And I thank you.
I'm still alive.
And I thank you.
I'm still alive.
Oh. Call and said, Jesus,
I'm still alive.
I am a living testimony.
I could have been dead.
I could have been dead and gone.
Lord, you let me live on.
Lord, you let me live on.
I am.
I am.
Oh, yeah.
A living testimony. I thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
I thank the Lord.
If you got something to be thankful for this morning,
thank you, Lord.
You ought to lift your hand and tell him, thank you.
You
ought to tell him, thank you.
I thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Lord.
I could have been dead and gone.
I thank you, Lord.
Sleeping in my cold, cold grave.
Thank you, Silver Slipper Dancers. What an awesome job. Amen. As we stand, if you have your Bibles, we want to call your attention to the book of Revelations. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And let me just commend everyone who was a part of this program today. It has certainly been beautiful. God bless you. And so happy to see so many of you in the house today. Hallelujah. God is good. Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 14 through 22. And there you will find these words. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew, I will vomit thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Verse 22, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and we pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds that will help us be the kind of church that you're calling for in these last and evil days. We thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor and help me present the title of this message this morning. The title of this message this morning is The Kind of Church That Makes Jesus Sick. The kind of church that makes Jesus sick. Now point to yourself and say, I don't want to be the kind of Christian that makes Jesus sick. Thank you, ushers. I was intrigued when I discovered that there is a class of people who existed and who now exist that make Jesus sick. And y'all, whatever I do, I don't want to fall into that category. I wondered how terrible, how bad do you have to be? How bad must the church be to cause Jesus to get an upset stomach? Can you imagine falling into the damnable category of being classed as one who makes Jesus sick? I mean, my brothers and sisters, I don't even think I thought it was possible to make Jesus sick. After all, this is the same Jesus that forgave drunks like Noah, the same Jesus who loved liars like Abraham, the same Jesus that had fellowship with bigamists like Solomon, talked to a murderer and adulterer like David, the same Jesus who changed persecutors like Saul, hung out with doubters like Thomas, discipled deniers like Peter, and saved sinners like you and me. This is the same Jesus who stopped dying on the cross long enough to vouch for a thief who was on his way to hell. And yet when we read Revelation chapter 3, we discover that there is a class of people who literally make Jesus sick. And the Laodicean church fell into that category. Unless we think that this is just a lesson in history, I want to suggest to us this morning that there are still some Laodicean Christians in Leesville and perhaps even in Pleasant Hill. And I don't know about you, but I think this is a worthwhile sermon, especially on our 124th anniversary. It's a worthwhile message to listen to and learn from, because if my behavior or my mindset is making the master sick, I want to know about it. I don't know about you, but I want to know about it so that hopefully I can change that behavior or change that mindset. One more time, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I don't want to be the kind of Christian who makes Jesus sick. The first thing I want to give you this morning is the context of this message. And you'll find in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17 where Peter says that judgment comes to the world, but guess where it starts first? It starts first in God's house. So in Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus stands in the midst of seven churches and he examines their spiritual condition and he gives his assessment, and then he has John to write a letter to the seven churches that he examined. Amen. Amen. That's the context of this message. And then you need to know a little bit about the city of Laodicea. Let me just say what the name of that city means, Laodicea. The name literally means ruled by the people. Amen. And what happened at this particular time in the church is that the mentality of the city that the church was located in creeps into the church, and the same folk who in the city think that it's my thing, I'll do what I want to do, it's my life, I'll live it the way I want to live, that same mentality creeps into the church. And so now you have church folks saying, can't nobody tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me how to walk. Can't nobody tell me how to live. Can't nobody tell me how to give or what I should give. It's mine and I do with it as I please. But Christ says it is that kind of behavior, it is that kind of mentality that literally makes me sick. But then the next thing I want you to examine is a hint of what's to come in the opening words of the text with the insertion of a preposition. In the opening words, in the letters to five of the churches, Jesus had John to address the letter to the angel, to the pastor of the church in Smyrna, the pastor of the church in Pergamos, the pastor of the church in Thyatira, in Philadelphia, in Sardis, but he opens the letter to Laodicea by telling John, I want you to write this letter a little differently. I don't want you to say to the angel of the church in Laodicea, but rather I want you to write to the angel of the church of Laodicea. In other words, the implication is this ain't God's church. Amen. Amen. He says this is the church of Laodicea. This ain't my church. This is a church of the people because they have concluded that it's their thing and they will do what they want to do. Look again in verse 20. Look at where Christ is standing in verse 20. In verse 20, we notice that Christ is outside of the church. That's why he's knocking, because if he was inside, he wouldn't be knocking. He's on the outside of the church. He's knocking, amen, saying, please let me in. Not only is the city and church ruled by the people, not only is it the church of Laodicea versus the church in Laodicea, but I want you to also look at their calling card. Because Laodicea was known for four things. Let me hear everybody say four things. They were known for their wealth. They had money. They were known for their wool. They were known for their water. And they were known for their medicine. Laodicea was a wealthy city. A city of banking and commerce. Amen. It was so rich and so proud that when the area was devastated by an earthquake, Laodicea told Rome, we don't need your help. Amen. We can handle, amen, this calamity by ourselves. And do you know something, my brothers and sisters? Whenever we reach a point in our lives that we think we can make it by ourselves, that we don't need anybody, and certainly when we reach that point where we think we don't need the Lord, amen, we are in a dangerous position. Do I have a witness here today? Is there anybody other than me who can say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I never would have made it. I wouldn't be here today, amen. But I thank God that he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. I need the Lord. Thank you, Sister Moore. I need the Lord to guide me. I need him every step of the way, every minute, every second, every hour of the day. If you know you need God, give him some praise in this place. They were known for their black wool cloth that came from sheep that were locally raised. It was a very rare type of wool. They were known because they had a medical school that was famous for its production of an eye salve that was used to treat eye diseases. But while they had wealth, while they had wool, while they had medicine, There was one thing they did not have. They did not have their own water supply. Amen. So this is what they did because they had money to do it. 6 to 10 miles north of Laodicea, there was a city known for its hot healing mineral springs. 6 to 10 miles south of Laodicea, there was a city that was known for its cold, refreshing spring water. And so what the Laodiceans did with all of their money, they built what are known as aqueducts. And they piped in the hot mineral, the hot water from the north. They piped in the cold spring water from the south. But guess what? By the time the water traveled the 6 to 10 miles from the north and from the south, by the time it finally got to Laodicea, the water was lukewarm. It wasn't hot. It wasn't cold. It was lukewarm. And I love Jesus because he uses stuff that we can identify with. He uses stuff that we're familiar with to teach us lessons. Am I the only one in here that the Lord has had to use some stuff that I have very good knowledge about to teach me? Amen. And so by the time the water traveled the 6 to 10 miles from the north and from the south, not only was it lukewarm, but it had picked up all types of sediment and minerals that made the water taste very bitter. And so Laodicean water was known because it would make you sick. And Jesus says to the church of Laodicea, y'all are really a whole lot like the water y'all got here. You're not hot. You're not cold. You're lukewarm. And guess what? It upsets my stomach. And I've come by Pleasant Hill to tell us, to remind us on this, our 124th year anniversary, that whatever we do, amen, that however we function, let us make sure that we are not lukewarm. Let us make sure that the same fire that was burning in our hearts when we first met Jesus, come on, am I the only one who can say that I came to Jesus just as I was? I was weary, wounded, and sad, but I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. But what happens over time is we forget the joy, we forget the burning, we forget the fire that we had when he brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. And do you know, I found out that it don't just happen with our salvation. How many things has God rescued you out of? How many things has the Lord delivered you from? How many times has it been that the doctor said no, but Jesus was standing there patiently saying, no, this ain't the end. I'm going to heal your body. As a matter of fact, some of us prayed. We said, Lord, if you just get me out of this. Come on, come on, Lord, if you just help me this time, if you just help me pay this bill, God, I'll start tithing. I'll start giving. I'll give 120, 420. I'll do whatever. Lord, if you just get me out of this one. And I know I'm not the only one in here who has to be honest and admit that, amen, even after God has delivered me, even after he healed my body, even after he brought me through and brought me over and brought me out, amen, I got lukewarm on him. But I have come by to remind us this morning that whatever God has blessed you with, don't be lukewarm. You ought to still give him praise. You ought to still be on fire to worship him. You ought to still have praise in your heart and praises on your lips and give him praise. If God has been good to you this Sunday morning, come on and give him a hot praise. Give him a hot worship. Tell him, thank you. You've been good to me. And I guess sometimes I've got to use, because God speaks to me. And this morning, as I was thinking about this message, I asked myself the question, well, how does he know we're lukewarm? Well, we know he's omniscient. But better than yet, he knows we're lukewarm because he sees us at the football game. And then he sees us on Sunday morning in church. That's for those in church. He sees us in Walmart when it's payday and it's time to get groceries. Amen. And we don't care how much COVID is out there. We find our way into the grocery store, into Walmart, because one thing we is going to do, thank you, we is going to eat. I know the grammar ain't right, but I heard Pastor Donald Parsons, he said that, you know, some folk get caught up in the English and in the grammar. You didn't say it correctly. But he said, I guarantee you, if somebody ran up in here with a AK, whatever, AK-47, and say, I is going to shoot y'all, you would run just as fast if they had used the correct English and said, I'm preparing to shoot you. And what God showed me this morning, and I'm closing, he showed me Christ on the cross, hanging there. Nails in his hands, nails in his feet. They pierced him in his side with the spear, and the blood is streaming down. But they also placed a crown of thorns on his head. And because of that crown of thorns, blood is streaming, and the blood is getting in his eyes, and the blood is, some of it is drying up, and he can barely